There's going to be times where you're going to hit the wall. Even though you're trying your best to serve the Lord, you're going to hit the wall sometimes. You will have setbacks. You will hit speed bumps. Just settle that right now. That'll happen. Here's one of the most important disciplines. Here it is. Would you write down? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself.
Welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Every one of us will hit speed bumps, will hit the wall from time to time. Today, we'll see that it even happened to the Apostle Paul. So, how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Well, funny you should ask. Here is Pastor Wayne to give you the 411 in part two of a message entitled, Training My Heart.
We've got a great graphics designer, Bob, and he does the bulletins that you have and the covers and things, and he's just really talented. And so we wanted to do this series, and so I said, Bob, come into my office, and I drew a couple of crosses. I said, this is Calvary, and I want phone wires going down, and it's like crosses all the way, and I wanted to wind around these hills, and it's like phones, you know, like that Verizon thing, can you hear me now? So I wanted phones, and I wanted to go right out in the audience, and I wanted to look like this and like that. Well, he said, great, got it. He took it, and he came back with the most beautifully done graphic. And I looked at that and I said, man, this is epic. This is spectacular, Bob. Thanks. Super. Well, the following day, someone else came to me and said, hey, Wayne, did you check this? Did you see this bulletin? I said, yeah. So didn't Bob do a good job on it? I said, yeah, but I designed it. I told him what to do. And then I thought, oh, no, what am I doing? Here I am stealing credit. Just getting a little proud. And then I thought, no, God, that stuff is still inside of me. Oh, Lord, what do I do? And God whispered, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Just got to catch it. Because if you didn't, if you let it go, do you understand how later on it would become like normal? Yeah, I design everything around here. Yeah. And then it becomes your personality. And the Lord says, you need to humble yourself, because if you don't, sin is going to enter. And the consequences of sin are devastating. It will eat and corrode your future if you don't catch it now. Because a sentence against an evil deed, even your own, is not dealt with quickly, therefore your heart will be given fully to evil. And I didn't understand the devastating effects of this until I was studying something in the Old Testament about the fear of God. You see, in the Old Testament, people didn't sin because if they did, they died. God would kill them. And then it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I thought, yeah, otherwise you die. And I thought, now wait a minute, that doesn't sound like God. So I thought, I'm going to do a word study on this word fear. Because God isn't like a mean God saying, be afraid of me. So I thought, I'm going to do a word study because I bet it means something nicer than fear God. So I looked up the Hebrew and I started doing a word study. And you know what it means? Fear God. It does. It says, be afraid of, realizing the consequences of, therefore be cautious with. Fully and heartily respect. I said, well, I can respect, but I'm this fear stuff. That's negative. I thought, no, God is not like that. But then I thought, wait a minute. It can't be a negative thing. Even though it sounds negative, it can't be. Because God's not mean. But yet it says that. So I thought, Lord, I cannot resolve this dilemma. What does it mean, really mean? Because you said, Lord, in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, by his mercies, we are not consumed. And then in the book of Romans, it says, it is by God's kindness that we are led to repentance. So if God is merciful and kind, but it says, fear God, be afraid of him. Wait a minute. He can't be mean because he's merciful and kind. I thought, oh, Lord, I can't figure this out. And I couldn't figure it out until my brother told me a story. And then it started to make sense. And I want to tell you this story. My brother is an electrical contractor. And he was working at a hydroelectric dam in Ketchikan, Alaska. And he told me the story as he was doing some wiring around the house. He said, you got to really be cautious when you're working with this stuff, Wayne. So you got to know what you're doing. And he told me the story. He said there was a guy that we had sent up to the hydroelectric dam. And when you know the amount of wattage output that these things give, it blows your mind. I mean, it's in megawatts. That's 1,000,000 watts. And a kilowatt is a 1,000 watts. So you figure that's a lot of energy. And you put the amperage behind it, that'll blow a hole through you. Now, this one was, in this one breaker that he was supposed to flip, it was throwing out 250,000 kilowatts. So he was supposed to trip this switch. Well, he went up there, and see, you don't just trip the switch. It's on a long pole because it can arc. And so they actually grab it and bang, it actually bangs like that. And you flip the switch. Well, he went up there to flip the switch, this guy, he said, and we didn't hear from him for 2 days. I thought, what happened? He was supposed to be at home. Not at home? Where is he? He's not coming to work today? So they sent a pickup up there, and they looked around. They couldn't find him. They saw the stick on the side quite a ways away. And then they searched around, and 100 feet away, they found his body. What had happened was there was an arc that took place, nailed him, punched him 100 feet away, and he was dead as a doornail, crispy critter. And my brother said, see, what happened was he was standing on wet ground. The pole was wet. And when he pulled it, it arced and ran right through him and grounded him, banged him and pushed him back a ways, dead. And I thought, wow, 250,000 kilowatts? Yeah, and the amperage to boot, so you're going to get nailed. So he said, this is what he said, if you respect and fear electricity and you give it its righteous fear, its righteous respect, and you're cautious and you don't cut any corners, that amount of wattage can light up 100,000 homes. And it, in the middle of the winter, can keep people warm instead of allow them to freeze to death. The benefits of electricity is huge. But if you cut corners, it'll kill you. You must learn to have a healthy fear of electricity. Then you'll treat it like it's supposed to, and the benefits are far-reaching. You cut any corners, you die. And I thought, that's it. You see, our God is a majestic God. Oh, not just 250,000 volts. No, he's a God who created the sun and the moon and the stars, flung the stars in space. His majesty and his power is infinite. And we as God's people understand that the benefits of God can be far-reaching, not just geographically, but eternally. But we think we can cut corners. He's our buddy. He'll let us do whatever. And bang, we die. Because the wages of sin is death. And we don't understand the devastating effects of sin. And so God speaks to us about the fear of the Lord. And when we understand and we treat him as we should and as he should, with respect and with love and to be people who understand how powerful he is, so we don't cut corners, then we'll also understand that he will give great benefit to us and keep us from the devastating effects of sin. And I thought, Lord, that's it. We understand it with electricity. We must understand that you're 1,000,000 times greater than that. And we honor you and fear the Lord our God, because we also know the devastating effects of sin and how it kills. Now, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, what was it again? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what it means? If you will fear the Lord, you're just starting to get smart. And in other words, if you don't fear God, you're going to come stupid. That's what it's saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear the Lord, you get dumb. And so the Lord is saying, if you'll want to be wise, begin to understand the fear of the Lord and don't take shortcuts. Because one day, without you realizing it, bang, And you'll say, what happened? The fear of the Lord. But let me give you one thing that we must avoid doing that will cause us to not understand the fear of God and compromise. And that is this. Would you write down, avoid making your own gods that allow you to live poorly. Avoid making your own gods that allow you to live poorly. You see, sometimes we make idols and we don't even realize we are. We make idols out of our own desires. We make idols all out of our own craving because we don't want to feel guilty. But I know what I'm doing isn't right, but just don't make me feel guilty. So how do I get around this? Real easy. I make my own God. Well, I know what I'm doing is not right, but God, you love me. Yeah, you love me. And also, you forgive me, huh? Yeah, you forgive me. And you just want me to be happy, huh? Yeah, you want me to be happy. Okay, now I can do whatever I want to do because God says it's okay. And I made my own in my mind, you see. Yeah, I know that she's another man's wife, but God, you want me to be happy, huh? Yeah, oh, and yeah, I feel God leading me to you. No, it's not God, it's little g God. You see, it's our craving, it's our desire, and out of the materials, out of the clay of my own desire, I make this little God, and I say, God told me it's okay to love you. Yeah. You think, whoa, what is going on? You see, we don't realize this, but we actually can make tons of idols and we don't even see it. But we make them all the time. But if you fear the Lord, you'll say, whoa, I can't do that. God is too powerful and he's a great God. I don't want to cut any corners. You understand? And then God says, now your heart is starting to change its default. Because if we're making all these gods, my heart is still wrong. I got all the nice stuff on the outside. I look real religious about it, but I'm still craving stuff that I shouldn't. But I just don't feel as guilty about it now because I made some gods that allow me to do it. And the Lord is saying, no. If you really want your heart to change so that I can set you up there, then you've got to let me train your heart and change your default. And that's one of the ways that it'll stop. But if you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll humble yourself when those things happen, I'll change your heart until the first tendency, when you get heat on you and when you hit challenges, the first tendency will be what I would say, what I would do, how I would see. Oh, Lord, that's what I want, huh? Yeah. Then we become a person, a people after God's own heart. But it's a process. So the first is we've got to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And the other is to humble ourselves so that our hearts don't harden. But the third is this. There's going to be times where you're going to hit the wall. We got to settle this once and for all. Even though you're trying your best to serve the Lord, you're going to hit the wall sometimes. You will have setbacks. You will hit speed bumps. Just settle that right now. That'll happen. Even if you're saying, God, I'm trying my best. How come this is happening? You will hit the wall or hit a lid sometimes. And nobody's going to be around to strengthen or encourage you. Here's one of the most important disciplines. Here it is. Would you write down? We have to learn. And we all need to do this. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself. Because sometimes there won't be people to encourage you, applaud you, help you, prod you. No, you just got to do it for yourself. Because you're going to hit a wall and no one's going to be around. And the only way you think is way out is just give up. But David, it says of David that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And one of the most important growth points in changing my heart is I'm going to strengthen myself. Because if you don't, you give up on the inside. You get exasperated. You get discouraged. You get depressed. And you say, oh, forget it then. But you're going to hit these points where you're going to have a tendency to quit. So would you write down in your notes in that bullet, breakthrough quitting points. Breakthrough quitting points. See, I lose forbearance Okay, I'm forbearing, this is the word the Bible uses. I'm persevering. But that's it. When I hit this point, I'm tired. I give up. And we bail out and our heart drops. And God is saying, I can't change your heart. You're going to stay the same if you have certain quitting points and you won't go beyond that. So you'll grow old, but you'll not grow up. You'll grow old, but you won't grow mature. But if you start to learn to break through quitting points where you would have disqualified yourself in the past, you hit it and you say, wait a minute, you encourage yourself in the Lord and you break through. And what it does is it increases who you are. It deepens, it broadens the scope of your life. And that's what the Lord says. If I've called you to do something, stay with it. Let's read Ephesians 4. Go. I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, showing forbearance to one another in... Yeah, would you underline the word showing forbearance? That's an important word, which means to forbear, to stay with it. Walk worthy of your calling. Because you see, here it is. Listen carefully. Every single one of us has quitting points. Points in our lives that we bail out at. We don't tolerate anymore. We'll tolerate stuff up to this point, and then that's it. I'm done. We all have quitting points. For example, you're at work, and on a scale of 1 to 10, your quitting point, when people give you guff, is like 7, let's say. I can handle somebody till about 6. That's 7. But as soon as it hits 7, that's it. I'll go nail them. And so you got it to about 7. And if the devil knows what your quitting point is, basically on a scale of 1 to 10, you'll bail out at when the heat hits 7, you bail out. You go ballistic. You go nuts. 7. If he knows your quitting point, 7 is Wayne's quitting point, then basically he can maneuver, he can manipulate, he can destroy, he can control my future. How? Because he knows that I'm going to bail out at 7. So let's say he wants me to end up here because he's got a maul and he's going to nail me here. But I'm walking this way. So I'm walking over here and he wants me over there. And he knows that at 7, I bail out. So I'm walking this way, away from the enemy's territory and where he wants me to go. If he wants me to turn around and get there, all he has to do is raise the heat of a situation to heaven, to 7, and then I turn. For example, I'm going this way, and I'm at work, and someone takes my stapler. Hey, don't take my stapler. It's like number 2, 3. I'm tolerating this idiot, but it's all right. And then he takes it again. I'm up to 5. Hey, I said don't take my stapler if you want to keep your teeth. Come on now. I'm tolerating you. I'm forbearing you like I learned in church. And then he takes it another time, and it's up to 7. And you say, I've had it up to here with you. What's here? 7. Right here. I've had it up to here. And then poo, poo, poo. And then the employer says, what's going on? I had it up to here with him. He's taking my stapler all the time. I'm fed up. I'm finished with it. I quit. You can take this job. Whatever you like to do. This is church. I cannot say it. But I'm up to here with number 7. I'm done. And you quit. Now, you, instead of going this way, he just raised it to 7, right? And you bailed out. Now, you're walking this way, and it happens at home. Your wife starts doing something. Hey, that's number 4 on the nag list. Now, don't be no more. And she nags you some more. Hey, that's it. And all of a sudden, bang, that's it. I've had you up to here. What's that? 7. I'm out of here. And so you turn, because you're not going any further. And so pretty soon you're here, and something else happens with friends or church. You go to church 5 times, 6 times, 7 times you come here. You can't get a parking space. That's it. I had it up to here 7 times. I'm done. I'll go not a church. Now you're right where the devil is. Boom. And he nails you. How did I get here? I was going that way. And then when he nails me, I go, oh God, how come my whole life is falling apart and the devil would nail me? How come you let that happen? And the Lord's going to say, because I had it up to here with you.
That's a joke. That was a joke.
Isn't that?
Joke.
But isn't that true? I mean, not God part, our part. Okay, we're degenerating here. I'm going to come back here.
This will be here. Okay.
Good morning. So we have to understand that if the devil knows our quitting point, he can control our future and get us right where he wants us. And this may not be a maul or a hammer. It could actually be a temptation that the devil knows that I will succumb to and I'm vulnerable to, and he just moves me around and I nail myself because I refuse to forbear. And so the Lord is saying, you've got to strengthen yourself in the Lord to break through. And when you do, you increase your heart. You increase your ability. And then you start to develop a heart beyond. Otherwise, if you just stop at all your quitting points, you never change. It's the same year after year. Because I don't go beyond any quitting point. Same as I was 5-10 years ago. But as we begin to move forward, oh, let me encourage you. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. The righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. Keep going. Break through quitting points and you'll enlarge your heart. And then when your heart is enlarged because you've disciplined yourself and you've humbled yourself and you understand the fear of God, one day when the challenge hits you, you don't bail out in the third quarter. You don't die. And you don't buckle your knees when the hecklers start. And your response is so much greater and you think, whoa, what happened? Keep going. Keep going. And as I said about your ears listening twice as much as you speak, take a look at your body, the way God created you. He's telling you, communicating you to keep going forward. Don't stop. Keep going forward. I mean, I just look at life real simple because I'm real simple. And kind of like the way God created you. I mean, just look at how he's telling you, don't give up. What side of your head did he put your eyeballs on? The front or the back? The front. He could have put one here and one under here, couldn't he? But he put 2 right in the front. Why? Probably because God, in a simple way, is telling us to keep looking forward. Yeah, simple. Which way did he stick your ears on your head? Forward or backwards? Forward, because God wants you to keep listening forward to the promises for your future. And he doesn't want you to have you listening to people talking behind your back. Isn't that right? Yeah. Which way do your arms work better, reaching forward or reaching backwards? Forward, because God wants you to keep reaching forward. Very simple. Which way did God stick your feet on your ankles, forward or backwards? You haven't checked lately. Check your neighbors. Just see. Yeah, forward, not backwards, because he could have, but he put him forward. Why? Because God wants you to keep walking forward. Yeah. There's only one part of your anatomy he's stuck on the other side. But I'm not going to tell you what that is, because this is church. But probably God is saying, there are certain things we need to leave behind. Isn't that right? That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But you see, the Lord says break through quitting points, because if the enemy knows that you quit, you disqualify yourself because you're unworthy, victimized, no good, I'm a worm, whatever it might be, angry, ballistic. There's so many tendencies that we have that'll cause us to bail out at quitting points. And if we do, the devil will control your future. You've got to understand that. And you break through the quitting points. Oh, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Then humble yourself, because otherwise your heart goes funny. But strengthen yourself so that you can break through quitting points. And there'll be one day you'll turn around when the heat hits and the challenges begin. And your response will be more like the Lord's. And you'll say, wow, God, this is what I wanted. Yeah, because then the Lord will say, there's a man who's a man after my own heart. because he's allowed me to not just be his blessor, but his trainer. We need God to be the trainer of our hearts, because then he'll say, there's my daughter, there's my son, of people after my own heart. That's my prayer, and that's yours too, isn't it? Yeah, let's stand together.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled Training My Heart by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.